God. Here comes Jonas.
Look at this guy.
Lewinberg.
Jonas Lewinberg. The reason we mention that is because Jonas Siegel has a difficult time getting up to this studio. I don't know if he lives in Buffalo.
He lives across from me, if I'm not mistaken.
Why is it so difficult for you guys to get up here?
Downtown.
Why is it so tough to get up here?
Downtown driving? I don't know.
But it always seems like a problem for you. What is it? Is it the Waze app? Because Jonas always blames the Waze app. Takes him up the parkway, then he's getting off, and he's going down to Danforth.
It's because Jonas drives 80 kilometers an hour in the shoulder. I guarantee you. Could you imagine just knowing Jonas, what he is behind the wheel?
I guarantee you
he's the death grip.
He's a cautious guy.
In this case,
guy.
I'm gonna blame Dwayne Watson, who's actually my ride today. I didn't drive.
Oh, it was Dwayne.
Okay.
It was Dwayne.
There you go.
All right. Well, Dwayne.
See, you're out.
Yeah, but Dwayne's got no responsibility to be.
I was 5 minutes late to meet him, so then it would be
that's my fault again.
Yeah.
Right. So. Well, we're glad you made it up.
Exactly.
You know what we want to get into? We'll get into the game and we'll look back on last night. But I brought this up earlier. Because we do it with the Jays all the time and the Leafs all the time. Where are the teams going in 2 or 3 years? And there's a way more potential volatility and turnover in the next couple of years with the Raptors roster because Kawhi is a complete crapshoot. No one knows what's going to happen. Lowry's got 1 year left on his deal. In 2 years, let's say Kawhi leaves and Kyle's like, all right, that's enough. Check, please. Whose team is this going to be? Is it Pascal Siakam?
Right.
Do you think Siakam has the ability to be the face of this team?
That could be 6 months from now. If Kawhi leaves, very possible Masai looks at it and says, all right, I don't want to be the 7th seed or the 8th seed. Like, I think the Raptors would still be good. It depends, obviously, what headspace Kyle Lowry would be in going into a season where, obviously, DeMar DeRozan is around. Kawhi Leonard wouldn't be around if he leaves. They'd be good enough to squeeze into the playoffs, but Masai has said a bunch of times since he's taken over, he has no interest in being in no man's land. And to me, no man's land in the NBA, like that's the lower seeds in the playoffs or just on the cusp of making the playoffs, you'd be better off bottoming out. So it's always tough to move deals like Kyle's, $30+ million. Serge Ibaka, same situation, $20 million. But those guys will be in the last year of their deal. Like, those are movable contracts. It's not impossible. So, yeah, in 6 months from now, we could be looking at Pascal Siakam's team.
Well, who comes in then below him? Who would slot in below him? Is it Fred You know, DeLon Wright's getting more minutes and he looks much more comfortable.
He's a free agent too, restricted over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this could be a very different team in a few months from now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, like Siakam, you know, you heard Devlin was saying it last night. He's not alone. I don't think it's a homer thing at all. You know, most improved player. It feels like he's in the driver's seat.
Probably saw the other guy last night, Buddy Hield. Like, he's in the conversation now. He's been really good lately. But, yeah, this is Pascal Siakam's
award to lose at this point. Yeah.
We were talking about Kawhi earlier, and our boy here, Brian Hayes, is he's starting to get a little concerned that this might be a little bit more than load management.
Hashtag load management.
Hashtag
Our load favorite management. Term. Is there something kind of, is there any kind of chitter chatter that this could be?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw him leave the game in Washington, that double overtime game, with left leg tightness. He did come back and finish the game, and he played in Boston a few nights later, although it looked like he was kind of hobbling around in that game too. And then all of a sudden, he misses 4 games for rest, which is pretty much unprecedented in the NBA. I mean, when was the last time a fully healthy player missed 4 games for rest, especially a healthy 27-year-old player in the middle of the season?
And no athlete wants that. They're like, okay, get me in.
Yeah. Hey, he missed practice the other day
with what the team called a previously
scheduled doctor's appointment.
No, we'll be explaining it, Josh, where the doctor is coming to your house or whatever. Like, you don't have to.
No. There's no way.
I don't see fire yet, but I'm smelling a lot of smoke.
Have you challenged? You're in the scrums. Like, did you challenge that and be like, what's going on here?
You'd ask Nick 2 or 3 times, does this have anything to do with the leg injury? Yeah. No. This is rest. This is load management. It's planned. It's scheduled.
Is Kawhi speaking at all over these, you know, the past week?
They're not required. Players aren't required to speak if they're not playing, and certainly Kawhi's not going out of his way to go above and beyond and do more media than he has to.
Right.
But we talked to him throughout the course of the season in terms of the rest, and yeah, I mean, the sense that I get from him is that he's okay with it, and we know he's okay with it, because let's face it, if he wanted to be out there, if he really thought he needed to be out there, he would be playing, even if the team wanted to rest him and thought that was important. Kyle Lowry was supposed to rest last week. They had ruled him out of that game. I think it was
Phoenix,
yeah. And he fought his way out there. I don't think this is Kawhi, to be clear, I don't think this is Kawhi and his people saying, these are the games we're playing and these are the games we're not playing. And I don't think it's the team saying, we're protecting you from yourself. I don't care if you want to be there. We're tying you to the chair. I think this is very much both parties just saying, this is for the best.
Right. Well, I mean, for their sake, for everybody's sake, he better play on Friday night in Houston. Because they came out yesterday.
There's going to be questions asked. If
he's not playing in Houston, you can't drop the load management garbage anymore. That's enough. I mean, something's up. And it's not the end of the world if he's nicked and bruised. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if it's something significant and they're trying to come up with some sort of an explanation or what have you, I don't know. I can't picture that. I mean, like you said, he played in Boston. And he played well in Boston. A lot of minutes in Boston.
It wouldn't surprise me if they looked at that after a mini injury scare, obviously in a high-stakes season with a high-stakes player, and said, we can't have this in late January. Let's be smart about this. Let's play it safe, not take any risks. But to me, even if it's 20% related to the leg thing, I don't understand why a team doesn't just come out and say, it's not rest. He's dealing with some leg tightness. We're being safe about it, precaution, all of that. I don't know why the league would be okay with it, because the league is trying to get away from teams resting guys. I don't know why the league wouldn't call the team and say, if this is an injury-related thing, just say leg tightness. Why not?
Yeah. No, exactly. People are paying prices to go see these guys play, specifically Kawhi.
When we look back at this era of NBA basketball in 20 years from now, like, part of me is thinking, do we remember this? Is it three-pointers? Small ball
load
and load
management?
Like, this has become what the league
is now.
It
could be the norm.
The Kings rested their 21-year-old point guard in the second night of a back-to-back yesterday.
That's crazy.
Josh, we were talking about Danny Green earlier on the show, how much we like him. He's a likable guy. He's a clutch guy. He's won before. He just seems to be one of those guys. Everyone talks about character, but he's one of those guys that gets it. Do you think that wherever Kawhi goes, that Danny Green will kind of be a tag along with him? Or do you think that's what I kind of sense, that they're kind of going somewhere together, whatever they do.
I think he really wants to stay here. I do. I believe it's genuine. And that's, I think, that's what I like about him. I think that's what you like about him. I think that's what fans like about him, is it's real. This isn't fake. He's not putting on a show. I remember, I liked Gravis Vasquez a lot, but I remember the day that he came here. It was the introductory press conference. He was talking about how he wanted to retire a Raptor, and it's like, you've been here 20 minutes,
dude. Yeah, it's pandering.
It's pandering. Yeah, yeah. But Danny Green is real. And you don't see that so much in the NBA or professional sports a lot of the time. But he's genuine, and I get the sense that he really has embraced the city. You see that in the interviews and the scrums. You hear it on the podcast. If you've listened to the podcast, it's fantastic. He does a really good job. He's gotten to know the city, and he seems to be connected already with the franchise. The fans really like him. I'm not sure that I can remember. Maybe Bismack Biyombo, a guy that's been here for 1 year, a short amount of time, that the fans have really got on board with. So I could see a scenario, going back to what could potentially be a very different team next year, I could see a scenario either way. Obviously, if Kawhi stays and this is a team that's competing for championships, they're going to need a Danny Green. But then if they go young and they rebuild, you're going to need some vets that want to be here that can help groom those young guys. I would think Danny Green makes sense in that scenario also, and if he wants to stay in that situation, then why not?
Yeah, the contractual chatter and projection it's difficult to really do without knowing what's going to happen with Kawhi. You know, like, Danny Green, I think it makes sense to keep him one way or the other because of what you just detailed.
Right.
But
although he's going to be expensive.
He's going to cost some
money. He's going to be expensive if Kawhi stays. Right now, the Raptors are already $17 million into the tax.
Danny Green makes 10, doesn't he?
He's going to make more.
He's going to make more than that. They're already paying. So if they don't subtract or add salary at the deadline, that $17 million into the tax equates to something like $34 million in luxury tax payments. That's this year. That's before you pay Kawhi, before you pay Danny Green. Like, this could get really expensive. But at the same time, it's like, all right, the team, the organization has been saying for years, the fan base has been saying for years, when is this going to happen? And the answer was always when it's worth it, when there's a legitimate path to the finals and the championship. So This is it. Spend the money while you can.
No, you're in it now. You're in it to win it. Josh Lewenberg, Raptors Pacers tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks for popping up here.
Great to see you guys, too. A little bit rather late than never.
No, it's always good to have you here, man.
Whenever
door's
you
always
feel
open.
Like it, buddy. Whenever you feel like it.
Way to work.
Jonas Lewenberg, our main man. He'll be a part of the pregame. Is Wheeler in the house? I know Dwayne's up here.
Wheeler and Dwayne are here, yeah.
What's Gareth going to be yelling and screaming about tonight?
I would imagine load management. I think he's actually for it, but he's starting to smell the smoke, too. And we know when Gareth smells smoke.
Oh, yeah. He'll sniff that. He'll sniff a conspiracy theory out with the best of them.
Yeah.
Pregame coming up at 7. Good seeing you, Josh.
Good to see you guys.
It's Josh Lewenberg, a Raptors reporter.